This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. Another favorite story from 2017 features a pilot program in 11 West Virginia schools that aims to train teachers to recognize the signs of developmental trauma and provide support for teachers and therapy for kids. Kara Lofton reports that as the program continues its third year, schools are seeing big differences in kids' behavior and their ability to learn.
My name is Liam
Madison. Liam is 5 and a student at Madison Elementary School in Wheeling. He smiles shyly at Lisa Armstrong, his preschool teacher from last year, who has come to say hello.
You know what, Liam? I would like you to tell these ladies who this is. Who is this?
My mom.
That's your mommy?
Mm-hmm.
Liam snuggles against the woman he calls Mom, who is actually his grandmother. Even though Liam lives with both his grandmother and his grandmother Pam Riggs has been his primary caregiver for the last 3 years.
Because his mother was in drugs, she suffers from, she probably because of drugs, she goes into depressions, she lays around a lot, she really didn't really play, except for being in the household, any role in Liam's education or anything.
When Liam started preschool last year, he was antisocial, hyperactive, and had very poor speech acquisition.
And that was a lot of his frustration because nobody knew what he said.
But Liam's introduction to school couldn't have come at a better time. Last year, Madison Elementary was in their second year of participating in the Crittenden Services-backed program called Trauma-Informed Elementary Schools, or TIES. The program was initially funded by the Benenden Foundation and grants from the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources.
At Madison Elementary, we serve many students that come from homes where a trauma has occurred.
That's Madison School Counselor Jessica Watts.
And that can be a whole gamut of things from neglect and abuse to hunger and incarcerations of family. Domestic violence and things of that nature.
Watts says about 50% of Madison Elementary School students come from an unstable or traumatic home environment.
And when they come to school with brains that have been exposed to traumas like that, it often interferes with their ability to learn in a traditional way.
The TIES program trains staff on how to recognize signs of trauma and work around barriers to learning that trauma presents to children. Watts says it also helps with early identification of students with special needs and hooks them and their families up to community resources and mental health services so any issues that are present can be addressed. For Liam, that meant connecting him and his grandmother to a child psychiatrist who could prescribe him medication to assist with the hyperactivity. Lisa Armstrong, his preschool teacher, says after connecting the family to resources, the change was almost immediate.
Once Liam had seen the doctor and the appropriate measures were taken, Liam's behavior not only improved, but his social interactions were so much more positive with the other
Absolutely.
Children. And he was so excited to be at school. But more than anything, learning truly began to take place, where before he was frustrated in his own skin.
School teachers and administrators say TIES isn't just about referring students and caregivers to community services, but also working with the TIES liaison, a master's level clinician, to help the children learn better emotional and behavioral coping mechanisms.
In West Virginia, we do see a lot of intergenerational traumas. We see a lot of adverse childhood experiences that exist that a lot of people are sort of coming from.
Joe King is the director of the program. Adverse childhood experiences is the theory that experiences like physical, sexual, or emotional abuse can have lifelong health implications.
You know, when I'm learning about all of this information about how trauma affects people across the lifespan, you sort of have this aha moment. I've been in the field of mental health and social services for 15 years, and you start to connect all the dots, you know, and you realize that a large portion of the clients that you've been working with, you know, throughout your whole career have had a lot of these adverse experiences, and not only that, but the families have gone through maybe intergenerational traumas.
King says people are starting to realize that trauma is cyclical and a pattern exists. The hope with ties is that if they can disrupt the pattern, they might not only be able to help this generation, but generations to come. School counselor Watts says due to the training teachers received on how to recognize trauma in kids, they began to request safe spaces in their classrooms for kids to calm themselves down and self-regulate when they are coming into the building with rough starts.
And it's because of the training in trauma that they realized that oftentimes when kids are in bad moods and not able to learn, or they're what appears to be daydreaming and not paying attention, that there's really something much deeper going on in their little minds and in their little hearts.
King says early data shows promise as to how well the program is actually working, but that the numbers from the first 2 years are still getting crunched by social work students at West Virginia University. For people like Armstrong, Watts, and Riggs, though, the value is indisputable. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachian Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. In another of our favorite stories from 2017, throughout our region, there are many communities with aging water systems built a generation ago by coal companies. As companies pulled out or moved on, communities are left to maintain the remaining infrastructure. One such water system is in Garwood, West Virginia. In one of our Best of 2017 stories, Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly visited the Griffith family there about a year ago to find out more.
We're in your kitchen right now, which is very clean. Quite impressed with the to have five kids. My goodness.
Jessica Griffith holds her one-year-old son on her hip while she stands at her kitchen sink.
Walk us through what it's like to, you know, wash the bottles and try to feed your children, young children especially, and make bottles for them without water.
Yeah, well, at first, you know, I was making his bottles with our tap water because we didn't know it wasn't being treated. So he has been drinking that stuff probably for the first 9 months of his life. And then here recently, there was times where I couldn't even wash his bottles, or I would have to get, you know, gallons of water and try to rinse them out the best that I could for him.
You might remember Jessica from our show a few weeks ago. She lives in Wyoming County in southern West Virginia, not too far from where I grew up, with her coal miner husband and five kids. She's lived in this house in Garwood her entire life. She says monitoring the quantity of water has always been a way of life.
Most days, you know, you never know what you're going to wake up to. Some days there might be a little bit of water enough for you to wash a couple dishes. Some days you might not have anything at all.
Jessica says Garwood residents were given a bill for about $17 a month until October 2015.
Everybody just up and quit. There was no warning, no nothing. The bills just stopped. For no reason. Everybody quit and that was it. Nobody handed it over to anybody else to see if anybody wanted to take it over, to see if anybody else could fix the problem. It was just done.
Garwood Water System was basically abandoned by its owners. While the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, or DHHR, doesn't have an official term for these systems, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency started referring to them as intractable systems. This means that they have no administrative contact, no operator, don't conduct monitoring, do not submit required forms, and so on. But the most important criteria for intractable systems is that they have no administrative contact, which explains why we couldn't get in touch with anyone with the company. For 2016 alone, the Public Service Commission gave Garwood a $750 fine plus a $75 fine for every month it's late. But it's kind of hard to find a company that's abandoned the water system. The Public Service District says major issues began with the community's water about 2 years ago because of a drought. Officials also tell me that the water operator was seriously injured sometime this past fall, and Jessica says the elderly gentleman ended up in a nursing home, unable to work on the system any longer. This left the town without someone to maintain the system, and the system worked without major issues until fall of last year, when the water just stopped. The water comes from an abandoned mine, so many residents thought the mine had collapsed, but we couldn't confirm this was the reason for why the water had stopped. As a lifetime resident, going without water isn't anything new to Jessica. She knows the community well, so she rides along with me and points out the homes as we drive by.
Now this house right here, they told me that they have lost their hot water heater because of this, and you know, they can't get a new one until the water's fixed because, you know, they don't have the funds for it because it'll just happen again, you know, until they do have water in it.
And then this house right here is empty. These people have moved and they haven't, you know, tried to sell it or anything, you know, because nobody's going to buy a house with no water. This one's empty here. And then this man right here, he's 82, and he's having to haul his own water in a truck from a place down the road and bring it in by the gallons into his house. And she has three kids. She has three boys. They have no water at all. And these houses down through here, you know, we've had water, not a lot. You know, we've had more water than on the hill because they haven't had any at all. But, you know, sometimes it's a stream, not enough to really bathe or shower in. But, and then sometimes there's none at all, like not even enough to brush your teeth with, which now we don't do.
Jessica doesn't let these challenges stop her from keeping an active lifestyle, especially for her kids. Each child who's old enough is involved in some sort of extracurricular activity, like her oldest son, 12-year-old Dakota. He plays basketball. Back at the house, Dakota sits on the couch as he shares what it's like to be a kid without consistent water.
Well, about brushing our teeth, we have to go to the store and get them gallon jugs and to rinse our, like, get our toothbrush wet and stuff. We have to pour some water on it.
Do you ever get frustrated with it, or, I mean, do you ever think about it at all, or?
Well, sometimes I feel, like, nasty and stuff where I can't take a bath, but it's terrible. My mom has to bring me out all of us five kids just to get a bath, just to get us clean every day.
Where do you go?
Usually to our mama's.
Dakota's mama, Jessica's mom, is about a 10-minute drive away in Alpoca, a neighboring community that suffered its own water issues. The community has had fewer of those issues since the PSD has been helping with a new project to replace the water lines. It was funded by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, a small cities block grant, and the West Virginia Infrastructure and Jobs Development Council. Engineers expect to have enough money left over from that project to fund waterline extensions to parts of Garwood, but they won't know for sure until spring of this year.
You know, I think a lot of it's just where we are, such a small town, we kind of get overlooked. I mean, you know, you live in a place that don't have a store and it don't have a post office, and people tend to, you know, forget about you. And, you know, even though that we are a community, you know, we work together and we do stuff, and it's not fair that we get overlooked, you know, not just from other places, but from our government. You know, like, we've reached out to them and we haven't got any help.
In the meantime, Jessica and some of her neighbors took to social media to try and find help for Garwood. She made calls to elected officials and even put in a message to now President Donald Trump. She found many of the answers she was looking for at a local PSD board meeting in December.
Yeah.
And we were up there right when you booked the little hall there in the Wibbs house.
Yeah.
There, the Eastern Wyoming County board members pointed out that they approached the community about a possible hookup a few years back, but was basically chased out of town.
So you just talked to the wrong people.
They told us they didn't need no one, they didn't want us up there.
Yeah. So that's what's sad.
Board members advised the community to elect leaders. Jessica was elected president, and as president, Jessica will organize a meeting and invite the town to vote on whether to hook up to the local PSD, Eastern Wyoming Logan PSD. This also means whether or not the town wants to start paying a water bill again. The project is expected to move forward this summer.
I'm not doing all this stuff for myself, you know, just to benefit myself or my kids. Like, I'm doing this, you know, for the community. The community needs help and stuff. And, you know, one day we might move away, or, you know, we might stay here.
But like some of her former neighbors, she doesn't see much hope in selling her house without consistent access to water. For now, community volunteers in Garwood were able to track down the issue. It's a temporary fix until the waterline extension project from Alpoca is complete, as long as the town votes to connect. DHHR says, including Garwood's water system, there are 8 intractable systems in West Virginia. We've posted a list of systems on our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jessica Lilly in Garwood.
Ann Lee helped with this report. Not much has changed since the story aired a year ago. The town of Garwood is still waiting on new water lines and a dependable water system. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell.